Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
This is a Joy 94.9 podcast presented by Paul Anthony with the assistance of the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officers, Victoria Police, Crime Stoppers and Joy 94.9 working together to make our community safe.
Gay and lesbian radio for everyone. Joy 94.9.
Paul Anthony with you on the Conch. Community Safety Month kicking off back in 1996 to right now, 2009. We are doing a live broadcast in the Victoria Police Centre's Media Centre. With me, I do have Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officer Gabby Tyack and from the Anti-Violence Project, Greg Adkins.
Good partnership today, Paul, isn't it?
Yes. We normally do this at the end, but I just want to acknowledge a few people. We've got Leanie and we've got Michael and we've got Jane who are making the stream along so well, and Robert back at Joy who are forwarding us all.
And joining us in the audience is the Acting General Manager at Joy, Dan Vo, who's made the trip down from the city. Welcome, Dan. Welcome to the studio here.
We're doing a whole heap of stuff for Community Safety Month and a whole heap of stuff throughout Joy, but at the moment we are at an outside broadcast inside the Victoria Police Centre. Our next guest comes all the way from the city of Darabin, and he's a councillor. His name is Vince Fontana. Welcome to Joy 94.9.
Pleasure to be here, Paul. Thanks for that.
Let's have a look at what your role is at the city of Darabin.
It's an interesting role. It's a councillor. You're an elected representative of the community. My role is to govern the city, assess and implement policies and programs which are intended to improve services to our residents in line with our corporate plan and our vision for the city.
Is it a new governance model? Do the councillors still get the knocks on the door about the roads, rates and rubbish?
Oh, you always get knocks on the doors and phone calls late at night too. Don't worry about that.
Fantastic. Now, Vince, your name is very familiar. Were you on Greece?
No. Maybe a distant relative, but not me, no.
Did you kiss someone behind a wall on Greece? No, it wasn't you. It's no. A fabulous name.
Thanks. Stop with your wishful thinking, Greg.
I will.
Vince, the Great Edwards Lake Walk, which is down at Northcote, the City of Darabin's putting this on. Can you tell us a little bit about the event?
Yeah, sure. It's actually in Reservoir, which is the northern part of our municipality. It's a great facility. It's the second largest man-made lake in Melbourne, the other being Albert Park. It's designed to cater for families, everyone who want to participate with our event partners, being the police and the Metropolitan Fire Brigade, to come along and participate in activities. There'll be show bags for kids, activity bags as well. And there'll be a barbecue at 8 o'clock too. Conclude the ceremonies along with the Vox Congo band, which will be performing live.
And it's such a diverse community, Darabin. You've got a huge volume of lesbians that live up there through the Northcote Thornbury area. They should get on down because it's such a diverse and accepting community that this barbecue will be fabulous for everyone, regardless of sexual orientation or ethnic specificity.
Absolutely, well. Yeah, absolutely. We pride ourselves on our harmonious diversity in Darabin, and it's been accepted in all our municipalities as well, so it's great.
Vince, how does this event promote a safer community?
It prevents a safer community in that it encompassing policies and programs which we feel important to include social policy, social cohesion as well, and more important, making our community more aware of the policies we want to implement to ensure that what we're doing is fair and equitable for all.
And I guess it's a way for all members of the community in that area in Darabin to mix and get to know each other with people they may not normally socialise with.
Absolutely. We've got a few of these events planned over the course of the month. They'll range from the south and north part of the city, and we want everybody to participate in and become included.
Take us back, Vince. When did it start? How long has it been running for?
Been running for approximately 10 years now, and it commenced as a result of various community groups coming together and ensuring that we take into account what they wanted us to not only put in policy, put in programs, but also follow up and ensure that it's continual. It's not just a one-off thing, that we're going to continue to promote the harmonious environment which we live in, and ensure that it's promoted in a way that other municipalities and communities can also accept and hopefully follow.
Now, Vince, apart from the City of Darabin, who are the other key partners in this event down at the lake?
The other key partners, of course, are the Victorian Police and the Metropolitan Fire Brigade. We see these as fantastic partners in the sense that they're a draw card for our community. Kids love fire trucks and fire engines and police cars, and once you get kids involved, obviously you get parents and custodians, other guardians, coming to these events and activities and really understanding what it's all about, but more importantly, fostering that sense of community feel.
Now, I want to actually offer another partnership and put you on the spot, Vince, a little bit here, because the AVP wants to come down and have a chat with Darabin about partnerships around violence and getting some posters into the local pubs and clubs that are respectful about diversity to encourage people from the outer burbs to be more respectful and inclusive about gays and lesbians that go to your clubs and pubs. Will you be in that discussion, Vince?
Can't see why not.
Fantastic.
Good job, Greg.
It's great, mate.
Let's have a look at the event again, the Great Edwards Lake Walk. Where is it?
It's Edwards Lake up in Reserville, off Edwards Street and off High Street as well.
Who's invited, Vince?
We want everybody to attend, you know, locals, neighbouring communities, and everybody wants to go, more than welcome to attend and feel part of our community.
It's a free barbie too, so we don't have to bring the snags, we don't have to bring the apron or anything. Someone else is going to tip the fat out of the barbie.
Just make
us.
Sure you take your rubbish home, that's all.
We'll do that, I'm sure.
Are you cooking?
I'll be there for sure. I don't know about cooking. We have plenty of volunteers to help out, that it's fine.
So there'll be police and fireys and other people from the emergency services there, is that correct?
That's correct, absolutely, yes.
Oh, good.
What other events? It's a big month, Community Safety Month, so besides the walk, what else is the City of Darabin doing?
Well, we actually commenced last Thursday night with the Great Mary Creek Walk in Northcote. We have over 100 residents attend. Weather was great, thankfully, and that was followed by a barbecue at the Northcote Town Hall. Continuing with the walking theme, Holly Nunn Primary School in Reserville have also been supported by our Council Street Ahead project team. They're holding a Walktober Walk to School Day event on the 21st of October. It also encompasses a healthy eating breakfast program for students.
Well, that's pretty good.
Giveaways, and also launched the new walking program for not only the school but other schools in and around the municipality.
Vince, before I let you go, if you could wave a magic wand, what would be the first thing you would fix to help make the community safe?
Mobile phones, absolutely. If we can maybe have people think a little bit more sensible when they're driving and not use them in cars, that'll solve a lot of our problems.
You're currently on Joy 94.9 in conjunction with the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officers and the Anti-Violence Project. Up next, we're going to be having a chat to Senior Sergeant Dennis Tocock, who's located at the Licence Service Department right here on Joy 94.9.
Gay and Lesbian Radio for Melbourne, Australia and the world. joy.org.au.
Yes, how good are we? We'll even transmit to the world at joy.org.au. Paul Anthony with you on the conch. Down at the Victoria Police Centre, so many things to say.
Do you know, one of those gems in the world that people can come to is that City of Darabin, where our last guest, Vince, comes from as a councillor up there, and they're doing some fabulous stuff for Community Safety Month, Paul. Extraordinary.
And we actually know that we're going around the world because we had Ohio send us an email earlier on.
Thank you to Lisa and the family. We are doing an outside broadcast inside the Victoria Police Centre in conjunction with Joy 94.9, the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officers and the Anti-Violence Project. In the studio with me, Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officer Scott Davis.
Good afternoon, Paul Anthony.
And also the Anti-Violence Project man, Greg Adkins.
Paul, it's a pleasure being here with you.
We are asking you a question. If you could wave a magic wand, what would be the first thing you would fix to help make the community safe?
And Tristan's given us a response here. He said that he would get all the bad guys and he would get them help, and then he would teach them to teach others to do the right thing, and that way everyone would be safe.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I'll add another one in. This is the next SMS I'm going to send in myself. It's around personal responsibility for your own actions. We need something in the water, a pill to get out in the suburbs so that every man that wants to socialise with his group of mates takes a bit of personal responsibility about how they behave and how they act out when they've had a drink or two.
If I could wave a magic wand, I'd follow you with that and have someone that can photograph what they did, and as soon as they did it and got home, woke up in the morning, they had to watch what they did and they could see what they were caused.
Hmm.
I reckon that's what we do. Let's look around. Lots of guns everywhere, hiding in everyone's cupboards, so we need them to bring them in. So we will have a chat to Senior Sergeant Dennis Tocock. Welcome to Joy 94.9.
Well, thank you.
You're a part of the Weapons Amnesty. I did a ring around to all the people who handed in their guns last year, and I came up with 2,428 people returned their guns. Is that correct?
Not just their guns, but their knives and other weapons as well.
Oh, okay. That's a good stat. Are you proud of me for knowing that one?
Indeed.
Why have a amnesty? What's the purpose of a gun amnesty?
There's a lot of people out there who are concerned that if they're found in possession of unregistered or unwanted firearms and unwanted swords, knives, anything else, that they don't have the opportunity to get rid of them. And we offer this as a yearly event, so that they can surrender them to a police station without any concerns.
And I suppose one of those things might be, say, a deceased estate, where they find that, you know, somebody's died and they're going through the possessions and come across a large knife or a firearm in those circumstances?
That's a very common one, and if you recall the amnesty last year, just when we announced it, there was a deceased estate found a boy's anti-tank rifle.
Ooh.
And that was surrendered, and that was used as part of the promotion of the amnesty last year, and it's not an uncommon occurrence.
It must have been successful. I haven't seen many tanks lately.
Yes, there hasn't been many on the street at all lately.
For people like me, though, what sort of rifle is that? Is it just a big mother of a gun?
It is a very big mother of a gun. You can carry it one man, but it's a heavy thing. Weighs about 30 kilos. When it fires, if you're lying prone on the ground, it'll move you back about 6 inches.
Wow.
Yeah. Can I ask a question about, it's not just guns, what about the ammunition? I found 10 38 bullets from years ago when I actually had a pistol license, got rid of the pistol license, and I still have these bullets. Can I hand them back in as well?
You certainly can. It's not just firearms and knives and things, it's the ammunition. Any accoutrements that go with it, you can surrender rather than place yourself in a position of jeopardy against the Firearms Act.
Well, they're on their way back to the station. Any police station or where?
Any police station will accept the items that people want to surrender. We do ask that if they're bringing in a firearm, to give them a ring first, just let them know that they're coming in,
yes,
so that they have it wrapped up and secured in a manner that's safe and that they've made sure it's unloaded before they go in.
Yes, it'd be a bit strange walking into a cop station with a sawn-off shotgun, wouldn't it?
You do so at your own peril.
Yes, right. When we first introed you, you said that people are left with them and don't know how to get rid of them. Are you also saying that maybe they've had them, they knew they shouldn't have had them, they're a bit worried about bringing them back?
Yep, that's it. Anybody can surrender anything that's unwanted or unlawful. Whatever they don't want, we're quite happy to take.
Right. I'll plead the one that, ignorance is...
no defence.
No defence. What if I don't know whether my gun's okay to keep?
You can give us a ring at the Firearms Registry. We'll tell you whether you've got a current licence, whether it's registered, and whether it needs to be registered.
What if one of those weapons you've inherited is something that's an antique and you want to keep it? How do you go about then converting an illegal weapon to something that's registered as an antique, as a weapon that you can keep?
We can get very technical here. If it's manufactured before 1900 and there was no commercially available cartridge ammunition for it at the moment, it doesn't need to be registered, you don't need to have a licence for it. If it's a handgun, totally different issue.
So there should go and check with their either yourself and any firearms registry or the local police station should know that as well.
They should be able to provide the advice. Licensing Services Division is the central office for it and we're more than happy to help.
How can people find out information to contact Licensing Services?
It's on the internet, the website.
Yep, so if people go across to police.vic.gov.au, they should be able to find contact details on there.
That's correct. There's a 1300 number, there's a email address.
Yep.
Dennis, do any people return stuff that you have been looking for?
In regards to...
Well, maybe something had been stolen previously and there's a record of it, perhaps, you know, there was a shipment that came over.
Two of the firearms that were surrendered last year were actually marked as stolen. The people who surrendered them didn't know they were stolen. They'd gone through two or three hands before they decided to surrender them. But
And do you do checks on the guns as well to see whether they're part of any cold cases?
There are ballistic tests and things done, yes.
But the people handing these in, they shouldn't be worried about that.
They're not subject to any prosecution, unless they're the murderer, of course. But they're not subject to any likely
prosecution. It'd be a good way to get rid of the evidence, isn't it? Here's a gun I used last year, but don't tell anybody. Will this be going on forever and a day now?
It's only a 30-day amnesty, but we'll be holding it each year. But even when this one finishes, if somewhere down the track in the next month or two someone finds something in Dad's garage or whatever, the police are more than happy to take possession of it without asking questions.
So don't stockpile between times?
No, you can surrender at any time.
What do you do with them once you've got them?
They're all destroyed by the forensic science laboratory, unless they're of historic value, in which case they may go to a museum or something similar.
Senior Sergeant Dennis Tocock, if you could wave your magic wand, what would be the first thing you would do to fix and help Community Safety Week?
Try and reduce the prevalence of knives out there at the moment. That's our major problem.
Once again, Senior Sergeant Dennis Tocock from the Weapons Amnesty, thank you so much for joining us here on Joy.
My pleasure.
We are actually down at the police centre, and you are on Joy 94.9. We're up next, we're having a chat to Ben from Melbourne West Police Station for Docklands Community Safety Day.
Joy 94.9, a different kind of radio.
Yes, yeah, a different kind of radio at the moment, Joy 94.9. It's October 2009. It's the first day of the month. It's Community Safety Month. We're doing an outside broadcast down at the Victorian Police Centre. We're inside the Media Centre, and in the centre with us is Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officers, Scotty Davis.
Thanks for the pinch and the punch for the first day of the month earlier too.
That's right. Oh. And Gabby Tyack, welcome.
Thanks. We've also had a hello come in from Sharon and Colleen, who actually work with inside the VPC. They're listening up there through their computers upstairs somewhere or other.
Oh, they're here.
Yeah, they're in the building.
Fantastic.
And they're listening to us online.
Fantastic. Wow. Come down and say hello. We're going to head across to Docklands. Melbourne's Emergency and Safety Services are bringing their special skills and impressive equipment to a fun day here at Docklands. We're looking at a wow factor. You get close to helicopters, boats, fire trucks, vehicles and rescue emergencies all around Victoria. The person to tell us all about that, who's the event organiser, is Sergeant Benjamin Taylor from the Melbourne West Police Station. Welcome to Joy 94.9.
Thank you.
Tell us about community safety at Docklands.
This is an event which we put together about 3 years ago. Of course, it forms part of Community Safety Month. And it was an initiative of the Melbourne West Policing Community Consultative Committee. And it started very small, a bit like a school fete down on the Docklands, the waterfront city area. And it's grown to a pretty major event now, which encapsulates the whole of the Docklands by closing down Harbour Esplanade.
It's pretty much the premier event for Community Safety Month from a policing perspective, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it's certainly the largest event of the month. I think there's 86 events registered on the website at the moment. This is one of the last events of the month,
yep.
But it's certainly the biggest. We sort of get patronage of around 40,000 people.
That's a big number, isn't it?
Yeah.
What are some of the other emergency services who are going to be attending?
We've got heaps. We've obviously, Victoria Police has got a big commitment to it. We've got the Metropolitan Fire Brigade, the Ambulance of Victoria, State Emergency Service, Australian Customs, City of Melbourne, Kids Foundation, Safe Kids Victoria, St John, Lifesaving Victoria, Red Cross, the Defence Forces, Victorian Coast Guard, Marine Safety Victoria, Parks Victoria, and then we've got Vic Roads and Esther this year as new entities, and we have sponsors as well.
It's not the first time the event's been run, but do you expect large crowds?
Yeah, we do. Unfortunately, on the back of incidents earlier this year with the bushfires, we are expecting a sort of big crowd and a fair bit of support.
Now, looking at Docklands itself, it's kind of like this mysterious place that exists, and a lot of people don't know where it is. How do we get to it?
Well, from an event point of view, yeah, it's right on the backyard of Southern Cross Station. So we encourage people to use the public transport system to Southern Cross Station. It's just a short walk across the concourse there around Etihad Stadium onto Harbour Esplanade. And obviously trams and buses will be still operating in the area.
And what are the major highlights of the day?
Yeah, I think your spiel at the start there kind of caught most of those. It's a big boys toy show, and we have a lot of vehicles and attractions that we offer and have opened up to the public.
What is it about helicopters that people love? Walking across from the Yarra today, there was a helicopter that landed, and everyone just stops and looks at the helicopter land. Someone jumps in and it takes off, and they're just like focused on this helicopter, and all it is this little black helicopter, probably Lynn Fox, I don't know who it is. But it's like, what is it about helicopters that make people stop?
From my point of view, it wakes me up at 3 o'clock in the morning with a big searchlight over the top of the house. I think it's, we just don't get to go in them very often, so it's still got that intriguing value.
Yeah, most people have access to an aeroplane and have travelled in an aeroplane, but have you travelled in a helicopter, Paul?
Oh, no, you're not going to get me in a helicopter, mister.
Gabby?
Yeah, I have, and they make me ill.
Only for work, for me. I've certainly not been in one other than for work.
I love them. I always look at them, and even though they make me want to throw up from motion sickness, I would love to go in them again.
But how do they get up in the air as well? That's the weird thing.
The little thing on the top. That's how it works.
Oh, thank you. Now I understand.
And how up and close can we get to all these emergency vehicles?
You can climb right through them and sit next to the people that operate them.
So we can take them for a drive, a spin?
Can't drive them, but we can certainly have some photograph opportunities.
Can you get me a key cut? We'll go for a helicopter spin, shall we? Not me. Before I let you go, Sergeant Ben Taylor, just quickly, if you could wave a wand, what would be the first thing you would do to fix to help a safer community?
If I had a wand, I would try and fix the public order management problem we've got in the city at the moment.
Sergeant Benjamin Taylor from the Melbourne West Police Station, looking after Docklands Community Safety Day. Thank you so much for joining us here on Joy.
Okay, thank you.
Joy 94.9. A little less straight than other radio stations.
Being a little less straight, and there's a lot of blue uniforms down here at the Victoria Police Centre, that's where Joy 94.9 is broadcasting from today to kick off Community Safety Month. In the studio with me, we do have Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officer Gabby Tyack, and from the Anti-Violence Project, we have Greg Adkins.
And wasn't it good hearing from Ben Taylor down at Community Safety Day down at Docklands?
Before? It was. Now, we're asking you the question, if you could wave a magic wand, what would be the first thing you would fix to help make the community safe? And one of the messages, Greg...
We've got a message here, Paul. It's a fabulous one. It says, if I could wave a magic wand, I'd have everyone think outside themselves and actually consider other people and our impact on them. And that's Grant from Melbourne. So good on you, Grant.
Thanks very much.
Pretty good sentiment.
Let's go to the younger scale of safety. Let's have a look at KidSafe. Joining us in the studio for Community Safety Day down at Caroline Springs is Dr. Mark Stokes, who's the president of KidSafe, and he's from KidSafe Victoria. Welcome.
G'day, Paul.
What is KidSafe Victoria?
KidSafe Victoria is a branch of KidSafe National, KidSafe Australia, and KidSafe is a child injury prevention charity. It was founded, in fact, it's the oldest such charity, founded in 1979 in response to pool drownings, largely, and motor vehicle accidents. It was founded here in Victoria by academics police officers, medicos and public servants. And they were the lead agency in this, in the world, anywhere at any time. They led to the pool fence legislation that some of us have adhered to, motor vehicle safety, bolts of safety seats, safety capsules for small children, and these sorts of things were the lead events that brought about KidSafe's institution.
Do you know, Mark, I think it's crucial the work you do, and the reason why, if we don't establish really good behaviours, really good understandings and education in kids, they grow up to be pretty stupid adults. So around safety and community safety, their success as young adults and older adults and members of our community relies on programs like yours getting the message out to kids.
Well, there's something in that, actually, Greg. I was the first child in Australia to wear a child safety harness, and now I'm president of KidSafe, so I suppose that sort of came about.
There you go.
Yes. So it does work.
Well, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. Some would tell you it doesn't in my case. I probably should have gone through a windscreen years ago, but nonetheless, it seems to have worked.
It's all about awareness, though. I've never lived in a place where there's a pool, so I've never had to worry about having a pool fence put up. We have a lot of nieces and nephews, but no pool. And, of course, until you start having kids, then you wouldn't really know about keeping them safe in the car. So it's all about, I guess, awareness.
Not just having pools and pool fences. In fact, children drown in buckets or toddler pools. People collect water in their showers in buckets, and toddlers have been known to drown in those. About one a year drowns in Victoria, quite a few more across Australia.
In a bucket?
In a bucket, yep. It just takes an inch of water to drown a child.
What are the major safety issues that you look at?
Well, drowning, obviously, motor vehicle accidents, secondly. One of the leading causes of injury to children is poisoning. And in fact, the thing about injury, and people aren't aware of, is injury is the leading cause of death to all children under 5 years of age. It outweighs cancer, outweighs all disease. In fact, it massively outweighs all these. And it is phenomenal, the number of children who are killed, and absolutely massive, the number of children who are hospitalised with permanent and severe disabling injuries every year. Something like 140,000 children in Victoria alone present to emergency departments every year with quite a severe level of injury. So we focus on all of those.
So, Mark, a lot of these accidents would be avoidable.
All of these accidents are avoidable, Gabby. All of them are avoidable. One of the things that I've learned over the years, that if you institute a proper behavioural system or an engineering solution, there is no event that cannot have been avoided.
So they're not really accidents, are they?
No, they're not.
Happenings that happen because of people's ignorance or stupidity, basically.
Or carelessness.
Well, I don't like to say carelessness or ignorance or stupidity. Very often they're things that we're not aware of. In the 1970s, we weren't aware that children could fall into pools, so we didn't have pool fences. Now we are, and we have pool fences. In the 1970s, we weren't aware that children became missiles when you had a car accident. Now we have safety harnesses and safety seat belts and safety capsules for them. It's awareness. As we become aware of more and more dangers, we institute civilised procedures to prevent those.
Another part of the community that's really important to get this message to are new arrivals to Australia that haven't learnt about swimming pools with fences or haven't learnt about medicine cabinets with old medicines or whatever. You know. So how do you get the message across to the arriving Australians that are joining our community now?
KidSafe actually supports a number of CALD programs, communities and other programs to other language groups, particularly to the new Australian communities, because every year we have events where, for instance, a few years ago there was that Somali family whose children got left in a car, it was a hot car. Other times have been families that not realised they had to lock cars up or not realised that they had to carry their children in seatbelts. So we have programs to ethnic and refugee and new arrivals to Australia, and those programs we hope will educate them.
Fantastic.
But we haven't got adequate funding to do it as in depth as we'd like. In fact, most of my staff seem to spend most of their time volunteering to do extra work on top of what I pay them for. So we do a lot of that.
What about rural areas? I mentioned before that we never had a pool, but I was brought up on a farm. We had a massive big dam. Now, lucky enough, nothing happened to us, but you do hear now and then the kids go wandering, or there's visitors that come to the farm, they go wandering, can't find them, they end up in the dam.
Well, I'm a country boy too, Paul, and we had a creek, and the creek, of course, was the big deer. You had to walk across the creek. Well, I managed to fall in and nearly drowned, and I'm sure that you would have known kids around your age or around farms that drowned. It's always a common occurrence. In fact, it's one of the leading causes of deaths for rural children, drowning in rivers, creeks and dams. And in fact, every year in Victoria, there's around about four or five of those.
So how do you get a farmer to fence off their dam? Like, I mean, you can't, like, put a pool fence around it, can you?
No, the smart thing for farmers to do is actually build a safe area on the farm where younger children can be contained away from machinery, poisons and things like that, such as inside a pool fenced area, but as a play area, and then they have to educate older children to be, of course, safer around these high-risk areas.
Now, very briefly, there's many, many same-sex couples now in rural areas, two dads bringing up kids, two mums bringing up kids in same-sex relationships, they should be more connected with communities, because too often same-sex attracted people aren't brought back into the message. So there's something for KidSafe to take on board, reconnecting with the families that are same-sex attracted.
Very happy to do that.
Just quickly before I let you go, Mark, is the presentation for adults or is it for kids?
The presentation we've got happening will be mainly for adults, but we have some activities for children as well. We go to both communities.
Do you have a website that we can promote for people to check out?
In Victoria, it's kidsafevic.com.au.
KidSafe will present safety talks on bike helmets, road safety and playground safety at this event for all school groups. Dr. Mark Stokes, thank you so much for joining us here on Joy.
Thanks for having me.
Keeping you and the community informed. Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9. Paul Anthony with you on the comms down at the Victoria Police Centre. And in with me, keeping me company, is our Executive Director from the Anti-Violence Project, Greg Adkins.
Thanks, Paul. And that was a great interview with Mark Stokes, wasn't it, a moment ago?
It was. Yeah. And also rejoining us is Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officer Scott Davis.
Thanks, Paul Anthony. And you'll note that I'm saying Paul Anthony.
Yes, you are.
Excellent. That'll cut up nicely for the podcast.
That'll cut up nicely for the podcast. That's right. I'm going to do a rap version of Paul Anthony. We are doing Community Safety Month, and it's going all the way through the month of October. Something you may, if you listen to the show, I'm not a big fan of cyclists. My next guest, I'm loving him because he's the one that gets out there and polices all these cyclists, but he rides a bike as well. And I've seen him in his bike shorts, yes. Please welcome to Joy 94.9, Sergeant Artie Lavos.
Hi, thank you, Paul. How are you going?
You're the State Bicycle Coordinator for Victoria Police.
That's right.
Tell us a little bit about your role.
Okay, well, it's a multifaceted role. Speaking in policing terms, I'm responsible for training our Victoria Police members who ride bicycles and go out there and actually do the policing role, because it is a different type of policing role on a bicycle rather than sitting in a big divisional van and so forth. I also am the conduit basically for all your cycling communities for the Victoria Police. A bit like what Scott does for the gay lesbian liaison area, I'm the same basically for cycling communities and so forth. And I'm also responsible for policy work, decisions, and representing Victoria Police, say, to the state coroner and to local government and state government.
How many police bicycle patrol units would there be? Is it just you?
No. You're pretty lonely. There's a few out and about. Melbourne West itself, being the city area, has a full-time crew, and there's five of those members, and then every police station has a couple of bikes, so they work patrols whenever they have the staffing levels to do so. But Melbourne Police Bike Patrol are full-time, that's all they do.
Being on a bike, you can pull over whoever you want, though, can't
you? Absolutely. We're exactly the same as any other police unit. We're responsible for attending all sorts of jobs, and we do. It's a bit different, but we certainly do.
And you certainly carry most of the equipment that police in a car would have. You've got the panniers on the bikes.
Yes.
So you've got the ability to be able to do the on-the-spot finds and all that sort of work.
Yeah, we even have our portable computer systems on us, which are like a mobile phone now, that we can actually bring up all our license checks and things like that. So we're a fully mobile unit.
Are you armed?
Yes, absolutely. We're an operational unit, so we must carry all our equipment.
I'm thinking, Artie, that being on a bike, not in a car, you're actually putting yourselves more out there. You're more in the front line. You've got the potential to be run over, for a start. I mean, you're more face-to-face with the person that's probably not going to think kindly about the members of the police force.
In my experience of being out there, yes, you are. You're at the coalface of policing, basically. But the response we get is fantastic. Even when we're dealing with aggressive situations, I don't know what it is about the bike, but it seems to appease people.
It's the shorts.
Yeah, maybe it's the shorts, maybe it's the people that come off the bike, but it's quite a good tool for
but
us.
But you said before it's a very different policing, but...
Absolutely.
The reason it's different is because you're not sitting in a police car.
Correct.
So you're actually hearing everything that's around you.
Yep.
You're actually a lot more engaged with the location that you're at, the community, the people that are around you, the other cars.
Yep.
You hear things, you see things that you don't see from a police car.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, it's not all about going out there and doing the reactive side of things. Proactively, we are far more advanced than the normal divisional van. We're an information booth on two wheels, basically.
That's right.
And for tourists, they absolutely love us.
That visibility feature is one of the key parts, I think, from the community side about policing.
Correct.
You're seen, you've got your bright yellow jackets on, you've got your fantastic calves flashing there in the sunlight. You're there, you're visible, and I think that's the best way of actually stopping violence, by being visible.
Yeah,
Scotty, you're going to have to get Sergeant Artie Lavos to come in. There's so many more questions that I need to ask him, so can we book him in for a
a glow moment?
We certainly can, but remember, I'm going a long service life, Gab.
That's okay, we'll get that done. So many other questions I'd love to ask you, but we need to wrap it up. If you could wave a magic wand, what would be the first thing you would do to fix?
Well, Scotty told me that this was coming. I'd fix everyone's attitude on the road, I think. I just want it to be a safer place.
Fantastic. Fix, just done it for you. Sergeant Artie LaVos, thank you so much for joining us here on Joy. Up next, we're going to be having a chat to Ruth Barr. She's from the Mental Illness Fellowship. You're on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9, a different kind of radio.
Wherever we live, work and play, safety affects all parts of our lives.
Community safety is everyone's responsibility, and there are things we can do to make our homes, workplaces, streets, neighbourhoods and communities safer.
To find out what safety activities are happening in your neighbourhood, visit communitysafetymonth.com.au.
Joy 94.9, the Victoria Police Glows and the Anti-Violence Project, working together to help make our community safe.
Gay and lesbian radio for the world. At joy.org.au.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.